Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with the stars, creators, and industry leaders on Broadway and beyond. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the actor Brittany Johnson. She's the first Black actor to play Glinda in the Broadway production of Wicked. Johnson had been a company member of the show since 2018, and previously understudied and been a standby for the role of the Good Witch of the North. When she went on for the first time in 2019, she was the first actor of color to play Glinda in the Broadway musical ever. This year, as of February 14th, the part became hers full-time. Now she's in the virtual studio with me to tell us about her journey to Broadway, share her advice for aspiring young performers, and reveal how her time as an understudy, a swing, and a standby prepared her for her current history-making run. Hi, Brittany. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I'm talking to you just a couple of days after your first performance playing Glinda full-time in Wicked. What was that night like for you?
Oh my goodness. It was incredible. The energy in the audience, it was unreal.
People stood up. A lot of people stood up.
Oh my goodness.
There was you had to cut short and standing ovation, right?
I did. I was trying so hard. I was like, is it time? Can I talk? Nope, can't talk yet. They're still going.
Yeah, you had to start the show, right? That's. And what was the mood like backstage for all of that?
Electric. I think we were all just as excited as everyone in the audience. Mm. You know, we obviously have a job to do, and we are, you know, we take our storytelling very seriously. Yeah. But it was an exciting time just for all of us to be able to play together again.
And do I have this right? Was this also your first time performing on Broadway since lockdown?
It was.
And so how did that feel?
Oh my goodness. I was trying so hard not to cry. It's just there really isn't anything like live theater. Mm. And even just being in the building is one thing, but being on stage and receiving that kind of energy, that give and take back with the audience. Right. There isn't anything like that. And I really, really missed it.
And did that fact, combined with the fact that this was, you know, your first performance full time in this role, did all of that contribute to unusual nerves going on?
Yes, actually. I remember I came off stage after the opening and I was like, I don't know if I did it, but we're on to the next scene. I remember feeling very kind of like my Broadway debut, honestly. Mm. It kind of felt like that.
Yeah. And the memorable Glinda entrance is in that sort of bubble contraption thing that's pretty high up off that stage. What is that like to ride in?
It's, you know, you don't really think of the height.
Mm, okay.
You don't really notice it. Once you're in the air, all air is the same.
Yeah, and you're strapped in, right? You've got the little
you've got
in the back and everything.
Ballet harness. Oh yeah. It's you feel secure in there.
And backstage, how do you like climb some stairs to get up there and over?
No. Or, they actually the bubble starts on the deck.
Oh, and then they lift you up in the
get
wings.
In,
oh, okay.
They lift you up. Well, I'm right above in the rafters.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
There's one seat I can always see from up there.
I was just going to ask, so what do you do? You must have at this point a fair amount of experience, you know, waiting there for your for your entrance. What do you do to sort of prep for a show?
I usually breathe. I say a little prayer. Mm. And then I actually kind of recite what happens at the end of the show to kind of get me in the mental place for the beginning, because our show kind of starts at the end and then it takes you back through the show.
Right. Yeah. And could you tell even when you were up there in the rafters that the energy was different that Monday night?
I could.
Yeah.
I really could. It's, there's just, you know, it's like the chatter, and also the fact that as soon as even the tiniest amount of the bubble was showing beyond the curtain, the entire audience erupted into applause, and you couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear the band. I couldn't hear, I couldn't hear anything. I was just looking at the monitors where we can see our conductor, and I was like, is he, what am I supposed to do? Well, I'm just gonna let him go.
Yeah. And how did it feel different being in the part full time now?
It feels more relaxed in a way. It feels like not that I have a chance to make mistakes. I don't think that's really the word for it, but it's like I have a chance to find what makes my Glinda mine. Knowing that I have a chance to, if I find something new, you know, tomorrow, for example, knowing that I get to try it again on Thursday and see if it fits.
Right.
And if it doesn't, I can try something else and, you know, just get to really live in her.
Yeah. What does make your Glinda yours? Do you know at this point?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, every single person's Glinda is different because we're all different people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all come to it with a specific set of circumstances because it's the same show every time.
Right.
And there's a specific kind of persona and history that we know about Glinda. Mm. But then we all bring our own personalities and our own interpretations of that character, our own histories, our own, you know, we bring all of that to our Glindas as well.
Yeah.
So nobody's Glinda is the same.
Yeah. Are you a Glinda personally? Would you consider yourself, if the archetype, you know, which Sex and the City character are you? Which Wicked character are you? Are you Glinda? Are you Elphaba?
Honestly, I don't think I'm either of them. I think, well, you know, maybe I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I have never worn so much pink in my life as in this role. But I would say I am very, you know, sunny, like my disposition is very bright. I love to laugh and make people laugh. And I think Glinda likes to do that too. My Glinda likes to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, she's very fun and playful. And yes, she's very selfish and she has a lot of growing to do and she does grow.
Mm.
But I think that's what is so wonderful about Glinda is that she is really malleable and she changes so much over the course of the show, and it's really wonderful to get to play a character like that.
Yeah. Were you able to interact with the audience at all, you know, at the stage door? Are you doing stage door right now
because of
COVID? No
COVID rules, we're not allowed to go out and sign, and
I
was gonna go out of the stage door because I was getting decompressed and all of that, you know.
Sure.
And it had been probably like 30 minutes since the curtain came down, and I went down to the stage door and the security was like, there's a lot of people out there. I was like, oh no. Cause I used to, you know, pre-pandemic, I used to love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best parts is getting to interact with people.
It's honestly one of
the things that I miss most about something that the pandemic really took from us.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked a little bit about this in an essay you wrote for us for Black History Month in Variety, but I wonder if you could just talk a little bit more about, because there have been Black Elphabas before, and Cynthia Erivo is going to play Elphaba in the movie, but what for you is particularly meaningful about a Black woman playing specifically Glinda?
Yeah. Well, what I kind of touched on in my essay was... there is an inherent goodness about Glinda. People come in to Wicked with preconceived notions about how they're going to feel about her and who she is. And, you know, that stems all the way back from The Wizard of Oz. Glinda is the good witch.
Right.
And so, you know, and she comes down in a bubble in this sparkly blue gown and people are applauding and she's got a wand. You know, it's just like you don't have to work very hard for people to love you as Glinda.
Mm.
And I think they're having that kind of inherent goodness placed on a person of color, and as a Black woman in particular, is a type of archetype that we don't get very often.
Yeah.
And I think it is so powerful for, especially for young people, to be able to come in and see that and feel that. You can feel that in the audience. Mm. You can feel the love and support that people are giving to Glinda. And, yeah. you know, people are rooting for Elphaba. Like she's the underdog. Everybody loves an underdog. Right. But, you know, there really is something about seeing yourself as good, you know, and wearing a crown that is, it's so special.
Yeah. You've got a heck of a wig too. I mean, as all Glindas do. Yeah. Yeah.
So many wigs that yeah. I have three of them.
Yeah. Did you work on that? Was that, did you have input on sort of how that looked and how?
I did a little bit, you know, the wig designer from the beginning, I mean, he had a vision for how he wanted it. And our director, you know, everybody had a vision for what they wanted. Yeah. And my input was more about what makes this look more natural. Mm. Because Glinda, you know, Glinda doesn't wear a wig.
Right, right.
And so my thing was, well, my Glinda shouldn't look like she's wearing a wig.
Right.
You know, it should be the same. And as all the other Glindas. I mean, maybe she has highlights. Like Glinda probably goes to the salon weekly, you know, so I'm sure she amps it up a little bit, but it should look like something that could grow out of my head, you know? So they really did a wonderful job.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your time in general with Wicked. When did you first join? You know, tell us a little bit about in what capacities you have been involved in the show.
Oh, yes. You know, the before times feel so long ago.
Yeah.
But I joined in 2018 in June. Mm-hmm. Somebody should fact check me because I'm horrible with dates sometimes. Probably very much like Glinda in that case. but June of 2018, I started and I was in the ensemble and I understudied Glinda.
Yeah.
So every night I was on as my ensemble track and I was singing, dancing. That track is hard. Mm-hmm. That is like a real singer dancer track.
Yeah, I would imagine. You're an Aussiean and... lots of other people, I would imagine.
You're at every scene pretty much.
Yeah, how many costume changes? I can't imagine. Yeah.
Oh, so many. Yeah. And those costumes are heavy.
Yeah, they look it.
You know, we make it look easier. They are heavy.
Yeah.
So I did that track for a year. Mm. And then I want to say in June 2019, I got bumped up to the standby.
Right.
And so I was doing that until March 2020 when everything shut down.
Yeah. And tell people, for those who don't know, what's the difference between an understudy and a standby?
Oh, yes. So an understudy has a role in the ensemble that is, you know, their main role. And then if the lead is out, or in our case, because we also have a standby, if the lead and the standby are both out, then the understudy would go on.
Right. Right. And so... go ahead.
And a standby, is not in the show unless they are playing what they cover.
Right.
So there's no ensemble track. They just know Glinda or Elphaba. We have an Elphaba standby as well.
Right. Yeah. And so you'd been on as Glinda, you know, I think your first time was in 2019, if I'm remembering the date correctly.
Yes. In January 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at what point, about how often? First of all, about how often had you gone on as Glinda?
Not very often, honestly. Yeah. Our previous Glinda, she had such stamina. Oh my goodness. Mm. So she was rarely out, you know, which is why when we came back in August, I hadn't been on. From August to December, I hadn't been on.
I was about to ask you that. That's actually pretty amazing, especially considering absences were far more common, you know, in the last months than
because you know people would get COVID and but I was actually the Glinda that was on when everything shut down. I was on a 3-week run.
Oh, okay.
And I was in my second week and we shut down.
Oh man. Yeah. And at what point were you approached to take on the role full time?
I found out during the pandemic. Mm. I'm not going to remember the date. Well, I could go back into my journal and I wrote.
But it was
down.
Before performances had started up again. It was
It's before we even really knew exactly when we were coming back.
Okay.
You know, I was approached about it and I was like, yes, I would love that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, was that, I assume that would have been something that you were hoping for. Tell us a bit about what excited you so much about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was already one thing. You know, at that point, we had been gone for at least a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I moved to LA during the pandemic.
Mm.
So I was kind of doing, I mean, I was still acting, I was teaching. I really expanded my coaching business over the pandemic.
Mm.
And, you know, we were all getting used to a different kind of life. And right. Even at the time, we didn't know exactly when we would be going back. And so even getting offered that, it was like, yeah, I would love that. When's that going to be?
Right. You know?
And we really didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like I was going back to start immediately. I was going back to be the standby for however many months.
Right.
So it didn't really feel it. I was excited, and you know, I was sworn to secrecy.
Yeah.
But it really, honestly, it didn't really feel real until Monday.
Yeah.
Until I did it.
Yeah. And you're stepping into this role, like not just in Black History Month, but at a time when Broadway has a record number of shows by Black creators and the industry overall is working to sort of rethink the way it operates in terms of equity and racial justice. And I wonder how that has played out in your experience with Wicked. Have things changed for you, you know, backstage or in the process?
Yes and no. You know, our environment in Wicked already is very supportive, I feel like. I think the big things that changed are the conversations that are being had now. Mm-hmm. They are more comprehensive as opposed to, you know, maybe just one-on-one. And I think a lot of things have been brought to light. And one thing that I am really, really proud of Wicked for and proud to be a part of this company for is how they take constructive criticism. Mm. Because it's not that I never felt like any kind of discrimination or anything that would happen to me was done out of malice. But now, especially that these conversations are being had, I feel like everybody is so open to hearing what they can do differently and are making changes that I can see.
Yeah.
I'm very, very proud of Wicked for that.
Yeah. And broadly speaking, how do you feel like the story and the themes of Wicked land differently now in 2022 versus, you know, maybe your final performance in 2020?
Oh, that's a big question. You know, and I think it changes nightly, honestly. I mean, I think the themes change every time I go on stage, honestly. But the thing about Wicked is it is always relevant. Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, we're still dealing with so much injustice in so many aspects of our society that you could almost apply it to anything and it's relevant, and hopefully people go in and come out with a new perspective on how to at least maybe change their minds. You know, that's the first step.
I'll have more with Brittany right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And now, here's more with the actor Brittany Johnson. Understudies and standbys have always been a part of Broadway and how it works, right? And though they're usually unsung heroes, but in recent months, we talked a little bit about this a little earlier, they've sort of gotten a spotlight just because they are their integral nature is like so much more apparent now, is like there have been so many upheavals. And so I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about what life is like, both as an understudy and a standby. Like, what's your day to day?
And I've actually been a swing as well. I've run the gamut.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, swings and understudies and standby, truly, they are heroes.
Yeah.
Dance captains are superheroes. Like, yeah. I could never be a dance captain. They're wow. I'm constantly in awe. And I'm so glad that people are starting to understand what it takes to be a cover.
Yeah. What
it's
does it take?
So hard.
Tell us about it.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you have to, not only do you have to do your job every night, but you have to be ready at any moment's notice to lead a show.
Yeah.
One that maybe you haven't rehearsed in weeks. And it's not easy to tap into that kind of energy. It's not, I mean, even if you're just thinking of it from a physical standpoint, wearing new costumes that fit, and you have to carry them differently because they're wider. Yeah. You're worried about, am I holding this the right way? Am I standing on the exact right number to not impale someone with this wand? Yeah,
right.
there's a lot to think about. And for people that, especially for swings that cover multiple tracks.
Yeah.
At places they could get a call that they're on for something.
Wow. Yeah.
That's happened to me before as a swing. I was half out. We're usually called half an hour before the show.
Yeah.
And I ordered my Chinese food. I was ready for a relaxing day at the theater. And at places I get a call that I'm on for the lead of the show. not one of my ensemble tracks, the principal track.
Yeah.
At places. And I had to warm up. I had to get myself in the headspace. I had to remember.
Yeah.
Everything that happens. It's like, whew.
How do you stay prepared for something like that? What's the your day-to-day routine of that when you're not going on as Glinda or any of those other parts that you might be covering?
Yeah. Well, you have to sing every day. That's a big one. And that's something that I think we all kind of learned over the pandemic, that you know, if you don't use it, you do kind of lose it a little bit.
Right.
So we were all a little rusty trying to shake off the vocal cords. Yeah. But you have to move your body every day. You have to warm up every day. And as a swing, especially, I was watching the show almost every night.
Yeah.
And just, I would track one person at a time. Yeah. I was a swing at the Lunt Fontaine doing Motown. Mm-hmm. And so there was an area in the back of the orchestra. Yeah. There's a lot of space. And so some of the swings, we would just go back there and dance and the audience wouldn't see us.
Oh yeah.
So we'd be back there doing the entire show.
How many roles would you be covering at a time in, for instance, Motown?
In Motown, I covered 8 ensemble tracks plus Diana Ross.
Wow.
So 9 roles I was responsible for.
And do you find that when you go on, it's in you, or it's...
Yes.
How does it happen every time, also, I guess?
It is in you. There are... I always had little cheat notebooks that I hid around the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
But it is in you. But I think that there is something that you just have to accept as a swing, that it's not going to be perfect because you are a human being.
Yeah.
And... that's something that's really hard, I think, for lots of artists, it's something that's hard for me for sure. Mm-hmm. Anytime that I get on, like, you don't have to be perfect. You're a human being. This is live. You know, I have to remind myself of that a lot, especially if my voice cracks. I'm like, ah. Mm-hmm. But that's something as a swing, I think I really, really learned was like, if you don't go out there, you don't hurt anyone. You don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And the show goes up and they clap. It was a win.
Right. Yeah. What else did you find you learned during your experience as an understudy in a swing and a standby? And what kind of skills did it give you that you might not have developed otherwise?
I am so grateful that my first Broadway show was as a swing because the amount, I think, of pressure and hype that you put on yourself for your Broadway debut is already so high that when I was like, and also I had a planned show that I was supposed to go on for, and I ended up going on 2 weeks prior in an emergency situation. So there was a lot. I didn't even have a chance to be nervous. I remember I had to go back home to even bring my makeup to the theater. I didn't have anything at the theater. Wow. Because I was still, I was still learning, you know, 6 of 9 tracks.
Yeah.
But that experience, one, it taught me what I was capable of. I never in a million years would I have thought that I could keep all of that information in my head and execute it at, you know, that high a level. Like, I mean, Broadway is, it's the top of the theater game, really, you know? Yeah. And it was getting cast as a swing. I remember when I first got the offer, I was terrified. And I was like,
I was gonna ask,
why? Yeah. Oh yeah, I was like, why would they hire me to do all of this dancing? Like, but then, you know, learning it and realizing that they trusted me to do it meant that I was capable. And so I just kind of let that insecurity go. And when you can learn 9 tracks, you can learn 2. So after that, it was like, oh, you just need me to cover 1 role? Sure. Yeah. Anything else? I've got at least 6 others I can do.
Yeah. Was Broadway always the goal for you?
Once it became the goal, it was the goal. Hmm. But if that makes sense.
Yeah, when was that?
Really not until high school. Hmm. I grew up singing, and I wanted to be a singer. And I joke around all the time that I wanted to be Mariah Carey, which I very much did. And still do secretly. but I didn't really consider Broadway because I didn't really know about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I knew it existed, and I knew musicals. I knew movie musicals.
Yeah. Where was this? Where were you growing up?
I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
In Maryland. But I went to a, you know, academic based high school. We had a really wonderful arts program. I was very lucky. But I wasn't, once I was thinking about college, I was thinking, okay, well, I want to study music, but I don't want to study opera. And also when I'm talking about thinking about college, this started my freshman year, maybe even 8th grade. I'm quite the planner, quite the overachiever. And so it really kind of formed in my head. I did a pre-college program at NYU. Mm. I want to say summer of before the 11th grade, I want to say. Mm. And in that summer, I saw like 30 Broadway shows, and I had all of this acting training and vocal training. And I'd been studying private voice since I was 8, but studying voice in a way that was performance-based was really new for me.
Yeah.
And it spoke to me so much because it was kind of what I feel like I was naturally doing, but really learning from, you know, Broadway actors and people that are in this industry. It just opened my eyes to an entire world that I didn't really know existed in this capacity. And so after that summer, it was solidified for me. I was like, I'm going to be on Broadway. And then my blinders were on. I went to NYU for musical theater. Mm-hmm. I minored in child and adolescent mental health. Mm. And that was it. The rest was history for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you get your first Broadway show? Which was Motown. Yeah. That was Motown. Yeah.
Right. That was my first Broadway show. But my first job right out of college was the Les Mis Broadway National Tour.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it was the 25th anniversary tour. Mm. And that I booked that literally the week after graduation.
Wow.
But I had been auditioning for it for a year. Sure. I think I auditioned for that show. Like, they brought me in, I'm not even exaggerating, probably 14 times. Wow. I was back and forth in for that show.
Did you play Eponine? Did I see that? Is that right?
I understudied her on tour. I played it on Broadway, though.
Okay, got it. Yeah. And what advice would you give to young performers, you know, hoping to show up on Broadway as you have?
Oh my God, I have so much advice. I honestly have learned so much. It's one of the reasons why I started teaching. Mm. Is because I really believe that every single person's journey is going to be different, and it has to do with your readiness and and I mean that in an emotional, mental, spiritual readiness. This is not for everyone. Being in the entertainment industry, it is not for everyone. And it shouldn't be. It's really hard. but I think I try to think of it as like, what would I have told myself? And I think I would have told myself to relax and to not be afraid of the other things that I loved, and to really explore myself as a fully dimensioned human. Because like I said, I just said, you know, I put my blinders on and that's what I did. Mm. And I think there's a lot of life that you miss when you are that laser focused on any one thing. And especially as an actor, I think the best actors are people that have lived full lives or are living full lives. Yeah. How can you tap into all of these different facets of the human experience if you don't have any?
Right.
And you know, that's something that I learned when I moved to New York City for college and just throughout my entire career. And that I'm still learning is, you know, how do you balance life and career, especially when your career is so wrapped up in your life and it takes so much of your time, you know?
Yeah. How long are you in Wicked for? Do you know yet?
Yes, so far for now I'm in it until November.
Okay, great. And what's next for you? Do you know?
I don't know. You know, I have a dream of being in television and film. I'm a writer. Mm. So I have, you know, I have projects that I want to produce. I teach. I want to be able to explore all of the different sides of this industry that I'm interested in and that I love, and to help other people that are interested in being here as well. You know, I think I am so excited to be able to play this on Broadway. I hope next for me is something on screen.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd love to be able to try something new.
Yeah. And is there another part in another Broadway show that you've always wanted to play?
Yes. Tons. you know, but out of everything that's on Broadway right now, I think I'm exactly where I want to be.
Well, good.
That's exciting.
That's great to hear.
Right. I feel very, very blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you are in it at least until November, we know. So enjoy the rest of your run. Thanks so much, Brittany. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was Brittany Johnson, now playing the role of Glinda in the Broadway musical Wicked. If you like what you're hearing on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow our audience of folks who love theater as much as you and I do. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft, or give us a shout-out on social media. Find past episodes or subscribe on all the pod places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode. Until then, find me on Twitter at @gcoxvariety. Thanks for listening, and see you at the theater.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.